And eventually, and this is all in the vow, actually. Some of these recordings were in the vow. Eventually, I said to my business partner, are you in this thing? Are you involved in this thing? I was recording the conversation. And she said, are you recording? I said, yeah, of course I'm recording. I record everything. Because I was very paranoid at that point. And she's like, can you stop the recording? And I stopped the recording. And then she said to me, I'm in this blackmail society. I'm fucked. They've got all the stuff on me. I can't get out. They've branded me.
Oh, now tell me about that.
Yeah. So what happened is that the woman, as a sort of sign of, I guess, fealty of some kind, were agreeing to be branded on their pubic mound with a sacred symbol that meant whatever, whatever. And they were, this was without anesthetic, and one of the other women in the organization who was a doctor was cauterizing the symbol on their pubic mounds. Very, very painful. They were held down by other women, very naked, and this is all recorded. And they were. It took some time to cauterize the symbol. And as I'm talking to my business partner, she tells me about this, and I say, show it to me. And we look at it, and we're like, yeah, those are his initials. Those are his
fucking initials. So they're branded as cattle or as slaves.
As cattle, slaves, prostitutes, that kind of thing. And all of it was being run by him. And the idea was that at any time of day or night, because they had to respond to commands. So first of all, they had to ask permission to eat. They had to be under a certain amount of calories. They could be contacted day or night. They had to be constantly ready for it. But they had to ask permission for everything because they were told that the more you submit, the more you relinquish your need for freedom, the more freedom you'll have. You know, slavery is freedom. And they were like, okay, great. And so sometimes he would say, command some woman to meet him in some shed, you know, have sex with him. And there was all the stuff going on with hundreds of women under his command. And that's the thing we eventually figured out. And when we figured it out, my business partner was very, very trapped. What we did is we arranged for her. She was on her way back to the organization. And I contacted the FBI and I got her, we made up an excuse and I got her to the FBI. So we were trying to talk to the FBI, trying to talk to the police in multiple countries because I was talking to all these women now, understanding what was going on. And what was incredible is the FBI was barely paying attention. Like they said to me, if you bring us financial crimes and underage sex, we can do something. And I'm like, okay, I'll bring you financial crimes. I'm going to work on the underage stuff. But all these departments, all these law enforcement departments began closing the case. And I'm like, what are you talking? There's a case here. We'd figured out there was a case. What we finally did is we went to the New York Times and we spent about 5 months working on a story. And we basically, it came out October 17th, whatever, 2017. The New York Times broke the story and it was horrifying because we showed them the brand, we showed them the people, we all went on the record. And at that point, another FBI district in New York contacted us and said, you know, we know you've been trying, we're very sorry, we're here now. We're going to take the case on. And it moved very, we thought this was going to take decades, if ever, because nobody's ever been able to really prosecute cult leaders. They moved very quickly. We worked intensively with them, a whole bunch of us. And all these women I'd found, I started getting them to the FBI. They started building the case. And then he was arrested in 2018. He was arrested. And then the second in command was arrested and three and four of the people were arrested, which was, I mean, it was unheard of. And then the trial was in 2019 and he got this staggering sentence of 120 years in prison. He's now in maximum security prison in Arizona.
And this was for the crimes of sex trafficking?
Sex trafficking, conspiracy to sex traffic, forced labor, wire fraud. There were three others that I can't even remember. There was seven cases. You know what's funny? The case took six weeks. It was a horrible case. I was on the stand for like 3 or 4 days. And it was brutal because he had five lawyers. I mean, he was spending, you know, so much money on lawyers because he had ARS's funding everything. So they had a lot of money.
What aspects of your own money as a cult member did you have to put into this?
Oh, every cent that I was possibly earning just went back in. I left the cult in enormous debt.
And they give you some sort of salary to live off? Or?
No, they sort of say, you know, we'll do these trainings and you'll get a percentage of the trainings kind of thing. So people have this idea that I made a lot of money. I just lost money because I was also, I had an apartment in upstate New York. I had an apartment in LA. I had a center in LA. I had a center in Vancouver. I had to like try to, you know, get money in and pay for all those things and plus insurance and all these things and have two houses in every place. It was a lot of money being spent on just living and serving the cult, but everything was always in service of the cult. If you ever
two houses in every place?
Because I was traveling constantly. Apartments, not houses.
Oh, okay.
I was traveling constantly. You know, it was more expensive to get hotels and stuff. So I would just, you know, get an apartment. But yeah, a lot of money was being spent on that. And they owed me a lot. But when I left, they tried to see if they could get me to repay money. And it turned out that they owed me money, which of course they decided they would not ever pay me. But most people leave these kinds of things very broke, very broke.
Came after you, did they? I mean, you'd broken down the whole thing as part of their identity and made them feel important.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So we were trying to get to people as much as we could because we knew that once we left and they realized that, you know, we were not friendly for a long time, not a long time, for a few months, they weren't sure. They basically said about me that I've taken a sabbatical. And people inside the cult were like, that's weird. I've never heard of him even say that. What they didn't know is that we were talking to the FBI, talking to law enforcement, but we had to keep up appearances, which is basically, I'm going to go off and do my life now because thank you very much. Tools were wonderful, yada, yada, yada. When they finally realized that we were not on board, they all sort of gathered together against us because now it's us and them. We were considered suppressives. It's the same term from Scientology. And so they began all these legal processes against us. One of the people was overheard saying, we've released the legal dogs against them. Against them meant us. So they started building cases like in they had a lot of contacts in Mexico with high-powered officials and judges. They began creating a case that we were criminals, that we'd stole a bunch of money, and they were trying to figure out how they could get us prosecuted in Mexico. At the same time, one of the heiresses with her legal team was trying to get my wife and I arrested in Los Angeles by the FBI for white-collar crimes. There's a lot of insane shit. So we knew all the stuff was going on. But at that point, we began working very closely with each other to figure out how do we fight this very powerful machine because they had a lot of money at their disposal. We would have lost had the FBI not decided to get on board. We would have lost because they had so much money. They would have destroyed us. Because previously, there was another wave of defectors 10 years earlier. They litigated them into non-existence. I mean, one woman tried to file bankruptcy, then they contested the bankruptcy. What they were trying to do is drive people in the end to just suicide, you know, to complete hopelessness. And everybody that's in the cult starts to get on board with that and they start to believe that. To this day, there are cult members that they may have left, but they refuse to talk to me. They do not want to talk to me. And I spoke to one of them recently and I said, why did you not believe me? And she says, I thought you were crazy. I said, why? I said, you were saying things that were crazy. I mean, like women are being branded. She said, yeah, it seemed crazy. It seemed so unlikely. And that was what happened. We said to people, he's branding women. And they'd say, well, is he branding women? Is he personally branding women? I said, no, the doctor's branding women. He's coercing her to do it, or she's doing it because she's in love with him or whatever. So there's all this sort of data-driven sort of science speak going on. Well, what's your proof? What's your this? And eventually I realized proof's not going to make a difference because they're still in the thrall like I was. But yeah, they tried to do a whole bunch of things to destroy us. Eventually when the indictment documents came out, a lot of people were horrified. We found things out that we didn't know, like his text messages with some of these women, like buying BDSM things and building a dungeon and building cages to put women in, like all the shit we didn't know that was coming out in the indictment documents. A lot of people at that point thought, this shit's just, this is insane. As I'm sure you think it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. I've done a lot of reading about cults and so forth, and often it's sexually coercive and that sort of thing. But this is, I mean, it's like kinky. I mean,
it's multi-level marketing. It's a multi-level marketing way to get sex whenever you want, is what he was doing in the end.
And that's what a lot of these cult leaders ultimately do.
Yeah.
And that's the very, if we go back to, you interviewed me on your channel. I don't know which is going to come out first, this or all that. Mm. And it's fascinating that ultimately as males, we are evolved to really create a kind of sex cult. I.e., you know, we are evolved to polygamous mating systems in which there is a high status male.
Are you ready for the future of the West?